podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
You listen to quite a different and yet appropriate podcast this weekend, as we found out earlier this week that Everton have been referred to an independent commission by the Premier League over an alleged breach of financial fair play rules. Joining me now to have an extensive discussion about this is an Evertonian, a good friend, and the senior correspondent of Off the Pitch, James Corbett. So first of all, James, to just start with this chat we're going to have about what's going on at the moment. The club have been referred to an independent commission by the Premier League over an alleged breach of financial fair play rules. In layman terms, which I generally want our chat to be like, what does that effectively mean and what have they done wrong?
So Premier League clubs are allowed to lose cumulatively £105 million over 3 years. Mm-hmm. The headline figure is that Everton have lost, I think, something in the region of about £350 million. Over the last three-year period in which it's been reported. But of course, that doesn't tell the full story. The losses that are allowed relate to, they effectively relate to player trading and player contracts. And Everton have argued previously that they lost a huge amount of money because of COVID, which is probably true, although Everton seem to have lost more money than any other club in Europe due to COVID. And it's complicated by the fact that Everton are spending huge amounts of money on the new stadium development, and those figures aren't added to the club's balance sheet until parts of the work are completed. So effectively it shows as a loss because they're literally pouring tens of millions into a dock in just outside the city centre, which has no economic value as it stands, but we all know it's going to be a fabulous stadium. And very shortly, it will be listed as an asset on the club's balance sheet. So that, you know, that can be taken out of those losses. But the reality is that Everton have been profligate in the transfer market. They've paid over the odds for players who are not very good. They've paid them too much money and they haven't generated enough money. And they've seemingly fallen outside of the Premier League's financial fair play rules.
Is that purely from the club's point of view when it's taking these players on? And we all know far and well, we talk about them all the time, about how poor the club's been in general on the pitch. Is that a feeling of desperation when they've gone on to continue this? I mean, the thing I think people from the outside will look at this and see that the board, the owner, have been under a lot of criticism, and quite fairly so, in my opinion, for quite some time. Farhad Moshiri is an accountant, isn't he? By career. So when he's doing these things, when we're paying for players and wages and whatnot, does he not have a look ahead of things and think, well, this is potentially going to be in a breach of financial fair play? Is that not something he should be looking at in the simple sense?
Yeah, I think they do look at it. And I know for a fact that the club were working with the Premier League to make sure that they adhered to these guidelines last year. So I don't really know what's happened. That's the truth of the matter. Everton is still to publish their accounts for the period in question. And the Premier League previously charged Manchester City with, I think it was 115 breaches of their financial control rules in January. What's very interesting is then the Premier League listed all the rules that Man City have breached. They haven't actually listed any of the rules that Everton are alleged to have breached. So, you know, maybe they're just investigating it. I don't know, is the answer. So we can only really speculate. But yeah, I mean, as I say, the club have been working with the Premier League in the past to make sure that they adhere to these rules. And as far as I know, they were doing so last year. The Football League has a similar sort of compliance department set up to monitor its clubs. Yeah, so something has gone wrong somewhere along the line. We can only speculate as to what at this stage.
Given the loss, I think a lot of people will be looking towards the summer because, well, regardless of the situation, what league we're going to be in, you mentioned there about the Football League addressing the finances with their clubs. In terms of ours, looking ahead a couple of months, let's say, for instance, we're still in the Premier League, which we all hope so. Financially, given this cloud that's now on them after what we found out yesterday, what are they able to do in return in terms of getting players in? Is that something that's going to be an issue in terms of Everton have a particular amount of time where they're not allowed to spend money financially, or will this still be on what we've done in previous seasons as to we weren't allowed to spend as much money as we previously had since Moshiri came in?
I don't think that the development over the last 24 hours changes anything in the summer. So they will have a massive spreadsheet which will have all the incomings and outgoings, and it will have a budget for players and wages based on that. And I think there's a few really big earners whose contracts are up in the summer, so it should give them a little bit more leeway. If they're charged and found guilty by this independent panel, I would anticipate as a punishment that, you know, maybe a bit like Chelsea a few years ago, they will have restrictions placed on their transfer activity and possibly a points deduction as well. But I don't necessarily foresee that happening for quite some time yet.
With what you've seen happen, were you expecting this before it came about, or was this something that you thought that wouldn't quite happen to Everton? We'll get on to what the punishments could be in a second or so, but were these sort of things going to come about given the way Everton have been financially for several years now?
I don't know whether it was inevitable, because all the sounds that I had from people within the club and people sort of within football was that, yes, we know Everton are a bit of a basket case, but also we also know that they're working with the Premier League to sort these problems, and it's being closely monitored. So as I said, something has happened, or something's gone wrong, or maybe they've not been transparent with some information. I don't know. It's all open to speculation.
Mm-hmm.
So in that sense, I'm surprised. But actually, when you look at the nuts and bolts of it, and you know how the Premier League have taken on Man City, and how they've been more serious about governance within the organisation, no, I'm not surprised.
With Everton saying that they'd obviously they're confident in addressing this, in layman terms, that they've not done anything wrong. You mentioned Man City there. You mentioned Chelsea. Will Everton look to kick this can down the road as much as they possibly can, i.e. what we've seen from Manchester City in terms of the legal team, everything they're able to put into this that makes it something that might well go away given the amount of time that it could take for these sanctions and punishments that we've referred to?
Well, Man City fought a secret legal battle with the Premier League for nearly 4 years, and Everton obviously haven't done that because they had to submit their accounts for monitoring at the start of this month, and so the Premier League have come out with these charges very, very quickly. Maybe the Premier League have got wise to the sort of delaying tactics that Man City had. I don't really know. But yeah, obviously it's in Everton's interest to kick these things down the line as far as possible, because, you know, if you throw the book at them tomorrow and say, you know, you escaped relegation last year because of this, and we're giving you a retrospective points deduction, then, you know, people would say, well, okay, you know, that's that's harsh, but, you know, it happened within the last 12 months. You kick it down the line to 2025 or 2026, and you say Everton's miraculous escape from relegation that season was because of this breach, they're not going to turn around and relegate the club. So that's how a legal mind would play it, and that's the sort of tactics that we saw from Manchester City. But it would appear that the Premier League have moved more quickly in this instance.
How much of a grey area will other clubs regard this as? Because obviously we see what's going on, and I know you've probably done plenty of work with what the negotiations that's happened with Newcastle. What's happened there in terms of how they were taken over? City obviously have reasoned themselves. You mentioned Chelsea. Will other clubs who possibly are looking at this a little bit nervous, thinking, well, this could come towards us, various clubs in the Premier League, looking at it, thinking, well, when does this come to us? When are these different things going to be put towards us? When is the book going to be thrown towards us? And also, the bits and pieces that I've read since yesterday's news have suggested that there'll be many clubs looking really closely at this in regards to what could potentially happen to them.
Yeah, I think that's the case. I mean, the irony is that the complaint against Everton was made last season by Leeds and Burnley, who were in relegation trouble themselves. And obviously, Burnley went down, Leeds stayed up, and were meant to have withdrawn their complaint. But the irony about it is that Leeds themselves faced, financial control sanctions by the Football League. You know, they were promoted allegedly on the back of, overspending, and reaped a huge dividend because of that. And Burnley's new chairman, Alan Pace, has loaded the club with debt and has essentially done a glorified carpet bagging exercise. Burnley, when they were taken over, had tens of millions in their bank account, and suddenly it's a club that's been leveraged up. So, it's ironic that these particular clubs think that they can, mete out a lesson about how a club's finances should be taken. But yeah, of course there's clubs out there who've lived beyond their means. And the economics of the Premier League are quite complicated because the financial control rules came in 10 or 11 years ago. You had Man City who were spending 150% of their turnover on transfer fees alone at one stage before that, and they've got to a level where they can effectively pull the ladder up on the rest of them. And we all know that Man City are under scrutiny. I mean, I've investigated fake sponsorship deals that Man City have done in order to allegedly comply with these rules. So, the clubs have their, different clubs have their own way of dealing with these problems. And I think the way that some clubs spent last summer, you look at the Nottingham Forests and so on, maybe they're storing up problems for the future.
Are Everton simply going to be an example that the Premier League would want to make of a certain side? Because obviously, many of us as fans would be looking at this thinking, this is just a typical Everton thing where, like previous issues we've had in the past, both financially, the things that people say towards the board and the owner, this is typical old Everton, we can't get these things right, despite the fact we had so much money to spend when Moscheri took over at the club. Would the Premier League and other organisations look to a club like Everton and think, well, maybe these look a little bit of a soft touch compared to the likes of Manchester City and clubs with a lot more financial prowess, and think that Everton are the side that we can really look like we are an authority that means business? Because I think many fans of other clubs, certainly many Liverpool fans across the park that we've known, have thrown a lot of criticism towards Manchester City and the way they've operated, and would think, well, nothing's going to be shown unless there's going to be real punishment shown towards these clubs. So Everton, would they be a bit of a soft touch, perhaps in a quite cynical way?
Well, it would be consistent with Everton's history if they were.
That's exactly what I mean, James. Yeah.
David, I've written numerous books on Everton's history, yeah. And whether it's stuff beyond our control happening, like world wars breaking out, or whether it's the club's star midfielder Tony Kay being banned for a betting misdemeanor at another club, or whether it's the ban that came in after Heysel. You know, Everton have been made to suffer for stuff that other clubs haven't. I mean, it would be, I mean, wouldn't it be ironic that the payoff that the disastrous Rafa Benitez was given, you know, brought Everton over the FFP lines?
We've got enough managers to talk about with that, haven't we, to be fair, the last 2 years.
Yeah, Man City breach FFP by signing players like Kevin De Bruyne and Erling Haaland, and Everton breach it by sacking Rafa Benitez. Or
we can't really compare decent players compared to the ones you just said, really, can we?
I know. Or bringing in Dele Alli. I think if the Premier League wants to make an example of anybody, I think it will be Man City. I think Man City have not only been so blatant about it, but they've been very, very aggressive, and people's patience really has worn out. You speak to people at UEFA, you speak to people at the Premier League, and they've had enough. They've had enough of filibustering by lawyers and obstructive tactics. I don't get the sense that they look upon Everton like that. Maybe Everton just aren't of the same size and stature anymore. So I think if there is an example to be made, it will be of City. On the other hand, Everton are probably an easier target in some ways.
Yeah.
And, you know, we talked about this before we started recording. Everton just don't play the political games very well. You know, I'm going to a major conference this week, the European Club Association. Everton are associate members. Everton never, ever send anybody. You know, Liverpool send their CEO. Man City send their CEO. You know, Oliver Kahn, the Bayern CEO, will be there. Edwin van der Sar, the Ajax CEO. Nasser Khalifa, the PSG president. All are going to be there, but Everton can't even send even a junior employee, and it's the same wherever you look at these gatherings. You
know, is there a reason why, though, James?
I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, frankly, the chairman belongs to a different era, and maybe it comes from him. They don't grasp the importance of this, but you need to be in the room with these people and know how to play the games and build alliances, not just among other clubs in the Premier League, but other clubs in Europe, and build those connections. And Everton haven't got it. So if there's a political element to this, Everton certainly don't play that game, unfortunately. And as a fan, it really, really frustrates me. As a journalist who goes to lots of these events, it frankly perplexes me.
What would they be able to earn from that, in want of a better term? Would visiting what you've just said there help them in many ways?
Yeah, I think so. And it's just really about an exchange of ideas and opening yourself up to the world, and how the governance and politics and economics of football works. I mean, I've had examples where I've sat in the room with senior members of Everton's executive team, and I've said, you know, you should meet this person, you should meet that person. One or two of them are sort of quite open to that. I mean, you know, we're talking really high level executives, whether at FIFA or UEFA and so on. Some of them are open to it. Some of them just, they don't get it. They don't understand it. They don't grasp it. And it's an introversion within the club that needs to be addressed, frankly. And they can do it as well. I mean, if you look at how they engaged with local politicians and opinion formers and communities and media and so on around the planning application for Bramley Moor Dock, I mean, it was a really impressive exercise, and they got all that over the line. And I think it's a good example of what the club can do if the right people are allowed to just get on with their jobs. But, you know, beyond the Merseyside area, I don't see them engaging with people in a sophisticated way.
It'd be generally wrong for me not to ask you about your views towards the Everton board. And I know a lot of what we said so far relates to criticism towards them and how they've not attended the conference you're about to yourself and not really shown any political interest in financial football. The board itself is the thing that most fans, you would say, really have huge issues with and want the changes that we've seen for many, many years. What is your take on that, how the board operates itself now? And does essentially a fan would ask, well, this needs changing, people need to leave, the issues that we've seen this season. What's your take on that?
I don't think it's a properly functioning board in the traditional sense, because you have so many club executives that are on it. So I don't understand it as a construct. So if you look at like a big company or a PLC and so on, you wouldn't have the chief executive and the chief finance officer on the board of directors. It would be a supervisory board that monitors what the paid employees, like the chief executive and the CFO and director of football and whoever is doing, and they set the strategy and ambitions for the club. So it's totally, totally dysfunctional in that sense. I mean, how can the CFO or the CEO be held accountable if the people that they're accountable to are ultimately themselves? I mean, it's nonsense. I mean, you look at the role of the chairman. I mean, he's 77 years old now. He's been a very successful theatre impresario, but he's been in senior board positions since the start of the century, and he's been involved in the Everton board, I think, since 1989 or 1990. I mean, you know, people talk about Sepp Blatter or Joe Havelange going on and on forever. Well, Bill Kenwright succeeded Sepp Blatter's term quite significantly as FIFA president, and I think he's nearly up there with Havelange, who was FIFA president for 24 years. And you know, also he doesn't have a significant shareholding in the club anymore. I think it's 1%. So I don't understand why Bill Kenwright's there. That's not to say that Bill is a bad person, or it's just not something I can comprehend. I mean, in terms of his track record, I mean, it's not great, is it? You know, it's the longest period Everton have ever gone without winning a trophy. I think, yeah, we surpassed that when 2019.
Yeah.
And the previous longest run, you had 7 years of World War interrupting. We've not had that excuse. So that's one thing I don't understand. In terms of the personnel on the board, I mean, I've a huge amount of time for Denise Barrett-Baxendale. I think in terms of her remit, in terms of Everton as an operation, you know, putting on live matches, working within the city, working within the community, building a new stadium, I think she's probably done a really good job. But people are always going to look at what's going on the field and judge her because of that. But I don't know what say she has in terms of managerial appointments or player signings and so on. I suspect it's not very great. But so in that sense, I think the anger directed towards her is not something I necessarily agree with, but on the other hand, she's there. She's in the number one position in the club.
Well, I was going to say, as part of the collective, really, I suppose that's what most people aim the blame at, is the collective board. It's not individuals as such. It's more, well, you can point your finger in any direction, really, because they're the ones that have been responsible for how poor the club has been in such a long time now.
Yeah, and I would ask myself, look, this is something I've talked about endlessly with friends who support Everton. I'd ask myself what I'd do if I was in their situation. If I was a senior executive at Everton and I was invited to join the board, of course I'd be excited and thrilled to do it. Perhaps these people should have taken a step back at the time and said, well, actually, you know, that's not what a board should be. You know, I'm here in an executive role. I have a day-to-day job. But it's up to somebody else to set the goals for me and to supervise me rather than myself. And they shouldn't have taken those positions in the first place, in which case that makes some of the criticism justified.
Yeah.
I mean, a couple of other things. You know, there's a hugely talented community of Evertonians who could take up board positions. People have been successful in business, in politics, in economics. So, you know, the last governor of the Bank of England was an Evertonian. The mayor of Manchester, Andy Burnham, who might be the next but one prime minister, is an Evertonian. Terry Leahy, who made Tesco's one of the most successful businesses in the world, is an Evertonian. Why aren't these people invited to form a board of directors? It's a mystery to me. And secondly, this ongoing issue about the board being absent at Goodison. I mean, it's such a terrible look, and it's such a terrible standoff. I just don't think you can get back from that. I really don't. I think it's a real problem. And the fact that week after week, they're not just absent, but these seats are left empty. It's almost like it's a protest against their own fans. Yeah. It's a terrible look. And they need to stop it. They need to stop it right now. There needs to be dialogue between the board of directors and their public. And yeah, they've just got to do something. I mean, it's just beyond comprehension. As a supporter,
yeah.
And you know, when you go to industry events, as I'm going to next week, and as I was at the Financial Times Football Business Summit at the start of the month, where again loads of club executives from all over Europe, no one from Everton was there, of course, but you know, they're all asking me, what's going on at your club? And I'm telling them, I don't know. Why are you asking me? I'm a journalist. There should be somebody that's a representative. So personally, as a fan, I find it frustrating. And again, as a journalist who works within the industry, I just find it inexplicable.
Back to what we started with in regards to the news we received yesterday. How do you see this panning out in the end of it? I know we were talking about it was relatively impossible to say, but just a quick take from you on how you think this will respond, how this will pan out for Everton in the next few months and years ahead.
There's no real precedence in the Premier League. According to the statute book, they are effectively allowed to, you know, punish without limits. They could relegate us, they could expel us from the league and so on. I don't think that's going to happen. I think if they're found guilty, there will be they'll go under a period of intense monitoring by the Premier League, which by all accounts they have been already. There might be a transfer embargo, there might be a points deduction, but it will be set in the future. I don't think it'll be retrospective. You look beyond England, where there's been these sort of sanctions before, and I don't think in the recent past there's been any examples where clubs have had points deducted retrospectively or titles stripped. The one exception being in Italy, where Juventus were relegated due to the Calciopoli scandal, but that was match fixing. That was actually sporting integrity. And I suppose this is in a way, but you know, how do you prove, you know, there's got to be a cause and effect thing there. So if Everton have breached FFP by bringing in Nathan Patterson last January, you know, how do you show Nathan Patterson helped keep Everton up, or Vitaly Mykolenko?
Yeah.
You know, you need to prove that. I mean, it becomes easy if they'd have signed Erling Haaland.
He
scored 20 goals, but I think it would be very difficult, and it would be very harsh. And I just don't think there's the appetite for that sort of thing, particularly while the Man City case goes on. Sports Social Podcast Network.